So we are here at the Portland Art Museum. This is DJ Ambush, now with Robbo and Easy. I've been really, really excited about this interview. Not that I haven't been excited about all the other interviews we've done here, but there's a lot of East Coast in the room right now.
Indeed.
There's a lot of East Coast in front of the camera. There's a lot of East Coast behind the camera. It's amazing. It's a Beast Coast thing right now. I'm loving it. This is another installment of our Artists on Artists series. I'm really, really grateful for the opportunity to be able to do this, especially here in the Portland Art Museum, especially as a, you know, being part of the community of color here in the city that's predominantly white. You know, being able to find spaces where we can, you know, really take up and touch on the things that are important to us. So sitting down here with two other creatives is amazing. Easy is in town from Philadelphia. West Philly, am I correct?
Yes, sir. Born and raised.
For anyone that does not know, I don't know why you wouldn't. I feel like I've done this enough. Philly is here. I've been here for 4 years. You know what I'm saying? Rob is here. Jersey City. How long have you been in the city?
Over 10 years.
Over 10 years. Easy's here visiting. This is your second time here in Portland?
Yes, I came last month to just check out the Space Laundry where I'm having my show at. Okay. And back a month later.
Okay. Okay. Yes, sir. So before we jump into the show, because we definitely have to talk about the show, tell people what exactly it is that you do.
So what it is that I do, I'm an upcycle pop artist. So long story short, I go into thrift stores, find different material, put it together, and create a masterpiece.
They are masterpieces.
Indeed. Yes, sir.
They are masterpieces. Yes, you're not being crazy saying that.
No, not at all. We got to shoot for the stars.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I've gone through the Instagram and a couple pieces now. I would steal. The pieces now I would take from other people. They're very good.
Thank you.
So how long have you been doing this?
At least 10 years.
Really?
Yes, I have.
And what was the initial inspiration?
So the initial inspiration is, we used to have an art studio in Germantown.
Okay.
And there was a thrift store that was like right around the corner. And I started painting on the heart pins. And so I went into the thrift store. All of the adult clothes were $1 a piece and the children's clothes were 50 cents. So I'm like, I can't lose. So I just had the idea to just put material on top of the heart pins.
Okay.
And was doing that for about 5-6 years. Didn't do art for about 2 years. And then I'm like, it's time to start going on walls and making sculptural pieces out of the same thing.
Okay.
And then that's when it transitioned into about like end of 2017, early 2018.
Okay. So when you were initially in that art space, what were you doing before you started incorporating this stuff in the thrift stores? Was it, were you already working on sculptures at that point, just being in the art space?
No, I wasn't. Me and a few of my friends, we had a clothing brand. It's called Natural Born Heartbreakers.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a half a heart and band-aid. Yeah.
I remember this brand.
Yeah, so we had a clothing brand, and that's actually like the origins of the heart pin, because the heart pin started out being hand-painted, and they actually had a real band-aid on them, and then that birthed into the clothing brand. But at the same time, the heart pins, I was still working on them, doing custom orders, and then eventually I started putting material on the heart pins. And then some people was like, oh, I wish you could put a heart on my wall or make something for my wall.
Oh, okay.
So that's how it transitioned from that into where we are now.
And where did your career in art start? Was this elementary, high school? At what point are you like, all right, this is something I want to take seriously?
Well, my earliest memory is kindergarten. I was going to Bryant Elementary School.
Okay.
And I remember my art teacher had us draw like a dragon, and for some reason he just loved my dragon like a lot. And then I had a lot of friends who could draw. All of them I felt like could draw better than me. But the real transition had been when I moved to Greenwood, South Carolina, 10th grade. Okay. And I had an amazing art teacher. Long story short, living up north, we start school in September. Down there they start school in August. So when I went down there in September, I was a month behind. So they just said, just take some classes to just have fun.
Right.
What do you like to do? So I just took art, math, and things like that. But that art teacher was amazing. We did a lot of things. We did calligraphy, still lifes, crocheting, so many different things. And she actually loved, it was me and like another black student. We were like the two best students in the classroom, pretty right. much. And she really loved like both of our like creations. And so that's what really like put the creative bug in me.
Okay.
And then from there, came back to Philly. Art wasn't the same.
Absolutely not. After that experience, how could it be?
It wasn't.
How could it be?
Yeah.
Rob, let me ask you this. With the traveling that you've done, how has that, because, you know, piggybacking off of what Easy said, how has the traveling impacted your art and your creativity?
A lot. From just traveling within the States, you know, going from Philly, Jersey City, down to Atlanta, mm-hmm. and just even building with other artists from other cities, other states, and just seeing from where they're coming from, I've always been more inspired by peers than anything. And then you take that overseas, mm-hmm. and you meet other artists, and you see other art, from street art to museums. Traveling just changes your point of view if you allow it.
Right.
So yes, it has a huge influence on me.
Yeah, and then of course just, you know, your worldview overall and social issues have an impact on your art and your creativity today. It's a lot going on right now. We're at the end of the election. We are at the end of the election season.
Mm, yes.
It's about to go down on Tuesday. There have been a lot of protests all over the world. How have you channeled some of that into your art? Or has your art been kind of like your refuge, your break from everything else that's been going on?
I would say it's been a break from everything, more so, especially like during quarantine and just being by yourself, and the thrift stores was closed, and so I couldn't go to my safe haven.
Right.
So I had to like play with the materials I had in the house, and it actually pushed me to finish up a lot of pieces that I put to the side. So pieces like the Jordan piece I finished, Kendrick Lamar piece. What else? Also have like, I finished like 4 or 5 really great pieces during that time.
Okay.
Yes.
Dope. What about you, Rob? How does this stuff impact your creativity?
A little bit of both, a little bit of a break, but I start from a place of the history of our people in this country. So definitely a point of paying attention and then allowing it to affect me and affect what I'm doing. But again, it's also like a break from it, you know, because then you get in, for me, it's the sewing. So you get into the seaming, the fabrics, and you just kind of lose yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a balance like everything else.
Yeah. I would definitely tend to agree on that. There's certain things that you just got to jump into. Because, I mean, ultimately, what we're talking about is, you know, energy going out. This is what you're creating is an expression.
Right.
You know, and then you got to replenish that. There's certain things you got to do to keep feeding that so you can keep pushing it back out. And with the world shut down, some of the things that we're used to doing is like all these, you know, external things that we are used to engaging with, you're kind of stuck, like flat out, you're kind of stuck. So the fact that you had some unfinished pieces in the house,
right,
that you were like, okay, they just keep staring at you.
Yeah.
What you going to do? It's not like you don't have anything to do or something to do right there in front of you. But that's dope that you were able to get that stuff done.
Appreciate it. Thank
you. That's the beautiful thing about being an artist, especially if you're constantly creating. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't get to finish everything. So this forces you to slow down and get to maybe something that you always wanted to, or finish up something, and then even come at it with a fresh perspective.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, that's the main thing about any musicians, whoever, but that's the main thing about being an artist in these times, how you are able to get around or flow with it to build something and to create something.
How have these times affected like your initial 5-year plan? Like what do you see after this? You know what I'm saying? Like because of COVID, because of the quarantine, just because of everything we're dealing with right now, there's been a lot of innovation in the way that we've had to function. What are some of the changes that you're looking forward to implementing moving forward with the way you approach your art and the way you display your art and introduce it to the public?
Well, one thing I could say is quarantine also showed me to, I'm starting to mass produce my art. One of my friends last year had gave me a call and he just was like, you gotta start looking at your artwork as prototypes. Yeah, so it like shifted my mentality of just creating a piece or doing custom one-off pieces, or he's like, you gotta look at it like as a prototype. You need to have 20 people be able to mass produce this and sit down and create it. So that definitely was something that shifted and something that I wanna look into more within the next 5 years. But things that I've done on my end currently is turning my artwork into posters, pillows, just got the flags, they came today. And even like a couple other ideas that I do have that will require cut and sew and some next level things. So yeah, I'm definitely starting to look at my art in a more mass produced, household friendly way.
Right, yes. Right. Mm-hmm. And of course you have experience in mass production.
Yeah, with Roots and Rooftops.
Yes.
Okay.
For me, like Roots and Rooftops is all made here in the U.S. I've always been about sustainability as far as what I make and how much I make. But with this, it really changed the whole way of looking at product, how you make product, and how you present it. Mm-hmm. And one of those things is what you exactly said. It's looking at what you make differently and opening it up for people to tell you, mm-hmm. like, that's what's up. And then going into production. So that's a big shift that I've been figuring out. And again, like, just that's the great thing about designing domestically. You can have those conversations and almost create those partners to do something like that.
So you said something just now about, you know, getting that feedback from people letting you know that's what's up. With the fact of what you guys are doing right now isn't run-of-the-mill, average, common, you know, design stuff. So what point, where does the influence, where do you put that breaking point for external opinion? Knowing that you know what you want this thing to look like at the end. And there's also so many different parts of the process. Like, this is the first version of it. I'm going to keep developing it as you're letting other people's eyes touch it and give you feedback. At what point do you kind of like put a pause and it's like, ah, okay, you've said enough. This is, I understand what you're saying, but you don't see it. How do you determine what does and doesn't work as far as feedback?
When that feedback goes along with what I want to do.
When it does what?
No, I'm joking. No, please.
Because Philly's rough.
Yeah.
Philly's very...
Boo you in a minute.
What? Yeah. What? Especially if you're from Philly.
Yeah. What? Without question. I have enough trust in my creative abilities that, like, I don't need outside opinions. Or if I do, I have like a very few select people. Because what happens is I feel like people, I make a pair of sneakers and now everybody want me to make sneakers.
Right.
Or I make an Apple Watch band and now everybody want me to make Apple Watch bands.
I'm sorry, did you make an Apple Watch band?
I did, but I hated it because I would have had to measure everybody's wrist to make it because I needed to stop at a certain space.
Got you.
Yeah, so it's things like that. But more so when I create, I only create with three ingredients, and those three ingredients is truth, love, and perfection. Mm. And that's all I'm ever striving for while I'm creating. Mm. And also, I don't create with any substance, anything that can alter the mind. So with me, it's just 1,000 no's and the one yes that I get, that's what gets glued down. And then there's another 1,000 no's and I glue down the next yes. So that's all I'm doing. I'm on a journey to find the next yes until the piece is finished.
On this journey to find the next yes, let's talk about some of the things you faced moving up into this, going up to this point. What are some of the breaking points, some of those moments where you're just like, this ain't it?
Some of the breaking points usually happen when you're like, you feel like you're getting there, but then outside influences, whether family, whether bills, this has to be paid, things like that. Those are the things that's like, if I push full, matter of fact, it makes me think about Chris with laundry, where he says, he opened up his shop 2 days right before his daughter was born. And I said, both of y'all gave birth at the same time.
Nice.
But at the same time, if you would have not opened your store, you wouldn't be where you are now.
Right.
So those are, that's the part that you have to juggle. And at the end of the day, as long as you make the decision out of love and not fear, then you'll be good.
All right. How'd you connect with laundry?
Through Amir.
Okay.
He works with Diodorus, and he's real good friends.
Right.
With, because I hit him up to see if Diodorus had any creative partnerships that they were looking to get into, and okay, he's like, no, I have something better, and connected us, and the rest is history.
So let's talk about laundry. Let's talk about what's coming up this weekend. Give the people the information.
Okay, so October 30th through November 1st, it will be Upcycle Pop Art Show. So long story short, I'm bringing a bunch of pieces, and also there will be posters, pillows, flags, shirts. This will be my first official merch release event.
Wow.
So I'll be showcasing work that I've showcased previously, and I also have a couple new pieces that I will be debuting. But outside of that, it's new to Portland,
right,
it's new to the city, and it's just a fresh perspective on what I've been doing and what I have coming.
So look like you got some pieces here.
Yes, sir.
Let's just talk about it.
What okay. So this piece right here is the off-white piece that I made. It's called Inspired by Ablo. And I wasn't making art for about 2 years. And just in 2017, I was seeing what Virgil was doing. I love the Chicago ones. And he's the reason why Jordan ones are now $500-$600. They were $200-$300. So this is a small piece, but this was the piece that I made when I started getting back into making wall art and sculptural pieces. So after a 2 year hiatus, this was the first piece that I created.
And it's tight.
Thank you.
It's tight.
Appreciate Rob, it.
Rob, looking at that, what are some of the questions you would have? Just
man, I mean like it's not just textures, but there's like, let me take this off, there's levels and different heights within those textures, and versus like woven versus leather, and just really, what I appreciate it, I don't think is really a question. With all that being said, it's all seamless. It's like effortless.
Thank you.
So I you know, it's, there's really no questioning it. It is what it is, which is just like beautiful.
Yeah.
You
know? I can honestly say like with some of the pieces I saw, you know, on Instagram, there's so much that I see every time going back to look at the piece over and over again.
Yes.
And I'm always, of course, you know, you don't have to divulge your secrets. I'm always curious as to how that's working. You know, like you said, with the layers and different heights, like there is a lot going on, different materials, and it's all sitting there, and I don't see glue hanging out. It doesn't look messy. You know, it's a very, very tight, organized chaos with some of these joints. That's really, really dope. So if someone wanted to acquire that, how does that work? Is that even for sale?
They were. They might be off the market.
Okay.
Right now. Because I look at it like adopting a child. So I feel like I would have to sit down and have like a serious conversation with the people who want to acquire.
I feel you.
Because now, especially once I shifted my mentality to mass production, this is the master key.
Right.
So it's like to turn over the master key is a different conversation before. But also my prices were up initially. But with the right person in the right situation, and it makes sense.
Are there ever any concerns with the art that you guys create with people deconstructing and trying to duplicate their process?
I mean, for me, coming from a more from a production apparel point of view, I kind of let that go a little bit.
Okay.
You know, I think when I first started, and that was, you know, decades ago, years ago, very much into like, you know, this is, I want to control it, this is mine, I can't tell you my technique, da 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 da. I think throughout the years, I've let that go. I don't mind sharing.
Okay.
I don't mind the input, because I found that made me stronger. Mm. Made me stronger as a designer.
Okay.
But to his point, like as an artist, I mean, I think that's a different point of view. And it's very interesting what you just said. I think that's very fresh and new for an artist to say, this piece isn't just a piece I'm going to sell and then I make another one. This is like this is the master key, and I'm going to mass produce this. So it's a whole nother way of thinking before you let that piece go.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because there are certain things in there you don't want everyone to know about because you want to mass produce it.
Right.
Right.
So yeah, that was really interesting the way you're coming at things right now. I think it's very intelligent.
Appreciate that.
Indeed.
I like to model a lot of what I do after like musical artists. So Jay-Z's just not handing over.
No. You're not getting the data.
Yeah, you're not getting the vocals.
Joe Budden, you're not getting the data. Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, that's a different conversation. So
that's fresh. That's fresh. You just mentioned music and artists being, you know, some of the inspiration. Who are you guys listening to right now? It's a radio station. I gotta ask you these questions. Mm. Who y'all listening to? Who y'all listening to when you're creating? Who's got your ear right now?
Mm. I'll let you take this one.
So, when I was making like a Kid Cudi piece, I just had his music playing in the background.
Mm.
I got a Nipsey piece. I'm going to have his stuff on repeat, just so that lyrics and things can come to me.
Okay.
But I will say the most recent artist I connected with, thanks to Amir, is Larry June. He's from like the Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, because I'm a huge Dom Kennedy fan, and also a Nipsey fan, so I was really rocking with Larry June and what he was talking about. And it's funny because Numbers is his ad-lib, and that's the name of the show.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, that's who I've been listening to as of recent.
So do you find that you, when those periods as you're creating those pieces, is it just that artist, or when you're taking a break to do something else, are you listening to something else, or is it kind of like you're staying in character? You know, for lack of a better comparison, you're staying in that vibe as you're working on that piece. Like it could be for weeks. You're listening to that Bacuddy, listening, you know, trying to pull other things in for inspiration.
Well, this is something new.
Okay.
Yeah. So most of the time, it's just like other people who I'm listening to.
Okay.
Even the Mike Tyson piece that I did, he did an interview with Customato, and he was 17 years old, and it's like a 2-hour interview, and I had that on repeat probably like 10 times. And it just like really showed how Cuss was just implementing his mindset into Tyson. And at that young age, he was just there and just soaking it all up. And you can also see how like young and like vulnerable and just like open he was to it all. Cause he knew what the other side was, where he came from. And he's like, I'm not trying to go back to robbing and running through the streets. So let me move in with this man who I could rob him too, but let me take this advice and see where it gets me. And
all right,
Back
on you. Who you listening to?
Oh, it varies. It really varies. I mean, it goes from Black Thought. It goes to West Side Gun.
Oh yeah, boom, 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 boom.
Indeed. I mean, to Bird, Miles, rhythms. You're talking West African rhythms.
Yeah.
I mean, you know me. I'm more into like beats and instrumentals.
It's absolutely.
Because so to me, that's almost like jazz. You know, it just takes you someplace. And I found myself in this new, I guess it's this new world of just fully designing. So you have to really just, you know, kind of, especially sewing and making pattern making, you have to focus so much on certain things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's it's good to have that music, just kind of like keeps you in the flow.
Right.
But then it also, it just depends on the mood of the day. You know,
yeah.
If I just, you know, I just need that energy boost, I put that type on. Yeah.
Oh, so easy. There's some more pieces you got here.
Yes, I do. Actually, I'll let you hold this piece.
All right.
Let you get a chance to
okay.
preview. And
that's hard.
Thank you.
Wow.
Nobody's walking away with that lighter.
Nah. So is this work, this lighter case, I can just swap out lighters?
Yes. Yeah, you can actually take the lighter out now.
Yeah. Oh, that's hard. Wow. So I'm seeing denim. What else do we have going on in here?
It's about 3 or 4 different Louis bag prints, and I just slapped them together. And
have you seen this already?
Oh yeah.
Yes. That's the heart pin.
Oh, here we go.
Yes, that's where it all started.
Wow. Wow.
Thank you.
So what you're basically telling me is all the cool people in Philly have one of these.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're
saying. And beyond.
That's the thing. I haven't made enough of them to. But I don't know. I feel like I've made thousands of them.
Yeah, right? At this point.
Yeah, from painting them to material on them.
These are dope.
Thank you.
Wow.
And it's like every year, it's like they just keep going up another level and another notch.
Were they always this size?
Yes, they always been 3 inches.
Okay.
So what's your process of picking out the material to make the design? Is it, does the design affect what you pick and how you use it, or is it the reverse?
So the way I go about it, as far as picking material,
mm-hmm.
it's one thing I don't allow for people to like, people want to give me bags of material and I'm like, I have to go through it because mm-hmm. my process is if this one piece of material feels luxurious by itself, then mm-hmm. next to other pieces of material is just all gonna come together and mm-hmm. look like one luxurious piece.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's something I learned from thrifting, is just touching different materials, and you see a leather jacket, but it's too stiff, or this one is too thin, or denim. Certain, especially nowadays, a lot of the denim is stretch denim, and it's like mm-hmm. terrible. It doesn't really do well. So,
right.
as I'm looking, I'm like, oh. This would look perfect if I just take this one piece right here, put it in a corner, and then pull pieces through it and out of it. So, I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, it did.
I am. I'm really excited for this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what I had planned this weekend. You know,
all plans are shut down.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We know where we at. Are there any events past this that you're looking to do in any other cities, any other places?
I would love to. I definitely need to do it on the East Coast because I can show you some stuff I have in my phone.
Okay.
Yeah, I have pieces that will not make it over here without Woo! Like a U-Haul truck or something. And I'm praying that my pieces make it over here.
Yes.
For the show.
Yes. Yes.
Some of them supposed to be delivered today.
This is amazing.
But, I got a 30-inch by 60-inch Rihanna piece that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Kendrick piece is probably like 50-something inches by 50-something.
Okay.
So I have like larger pieces. One of my homies, when he came to my show, like I love the praise, and that's, I accept it, but I also love when people push you. Like my homie Brooks, he's like, you need to make stuff that people can walk around. And I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that just made me start working on mannequins and Marios and basketballs, helmets, all types of stuff.
Right.
That people can actually, he's like, yeah, this wall stuff is cool, but people mm-hmm. need to walk around.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then when he came to the show, he's like, yeah, this is cool, but now you need to make bigger pieces. Now he sees the pieces.
Right.
They're getting bigger and larger, and I can't even bring them with me. So yeah, I need the next location needs to at least be on the East Coast where we're able to bring everything and like tell the whole story.
I'm looking forward to seeing, more and more of this and seeing, how it develops. Like, seriously. Have there been any, any pulls in any directions with some of the responses you've gotten from people? Like, have people ask you, like, do people start commissioning you to do specific things for them?
I have.
Okay.
The Levi piece, which a lot of people love that piece, was actually a commission piece by one of my friends from high school, and he's like a lawyer now, and he has a lot of art in his house, and he collects art. So that was somebody, once we had the conversation, and he didn't make it to my art show, but he saw like the results and was like, oh, I have this Levi piece I want you to do. So gave me that, and I designed it for him. And the funny thing is, Levi actually liked the piece on Instagram.
Of course he did. Something fresh.
Why didn't you take a quick trip to the Bay Area, in San Francisco? That's where
they're located. Okay.
Yes, sir. So outside of Levi, what's some of the what's one of the reactions you've gotten that you were like, oh, what you were really surprised about?
A reaction that I got that I was surprised. The Levi one, that was kind of surprising. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was real surprising. That's really all I can think of right now. When I designed a pair of off-whites for Kyrie Irving. He wore them to the All-Star game last year.
Ooh.
And yeah, so it wasn't really like any good detailed pictures because he wore them the second night, which is the night of the All-Star game.
Mm-hmm.
The day before, they had a lot of pictures because he wasn't like a part of the dunk contest or none of that that was happening. So the next night he just wore them and just changed. He was next to LeBron. I actually painted a heart pin for LeBron too. I know if you know Karan, Kings Rule Together.
Yeah,
we did a collaboration and he was able to get the pin to LeBron. And LeBron actually wore it to an All-Star game as well too, like in 2015 or 16. And so, yeah, actually, those are like some of
I'd say those are pretty momentous situations.
Did you customize footwear for Irving?
Do I customize footwear?
Yeah.
That's what you did. What'd you do for Kyrie? Yeah. What was it?
It was a pair of off-white Jordan 1s because I had did a pair for myself and I posted them and Asia follows me and she's like a really dope person. And she just reached out and was like, I want you to design a pair for Kyle for All-Star Weekend. And I just was like, let's go. Man, it took a couple months and then he wore them like regularly to a game. And then like, that's when it really took off and people was like, oh, yeah.
Was it standard paint or did you use some of this technique?
It was material. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, so the side panel, like where the check is, focused on like that area and just enhance the sneaker. I really didn't want to do too much to it. So I just enhanced like the side parts. And a lot of people actually loved it. And I turned it into a poster and a pillow should be arriving by tomorrow.
Nice.
Yeah.
It sounds like I'm going to be spending money.
Oh, yeah.
I need posters and pillows and t-shirts.
You said flags, right?
We need a flag for the office.
I need a flag.
Yeah. They just,
people, get a flag.
Get a flag, people. Cop the flag, people.
Yeah. It's all coming out. Like,
there's nothing more exciting to me at being this early in artist development.
Indeed.
Whether it's a visual artist, musician, you know, I do a lot of consulting. So being able to spot someone this early and be like, oh, y'all not ready. You're not ready. I always try to grab everything. You got some studio files, mixtapes. Give me all of this.
Right.
Yeah. This is. I'm so happy you're here.
Thank you. I'm thankful to be here.
It's extremely refreshing for me. Like it recharges my battery when I get East Coast people out here. Don't mention somebody from Philly. Like we were just cracking a joke yesterday. They don't understand. Year or two from now, I'm copping the Crown Vic. You know what I'm saying? Or putting the time in. It's going to be my passion project. And my fiance is like, what are you doing? You were in Portland. Why do you want a Crown Vic? I was like, Crown Vic boys. What are you talking about? And what better time than now?
Preferably an old cop car too.
Yes.
With the spotlight still, and it still works too.
Well, that's actually pretty easy here.
Yeah, right? Man. Thank you, Easy. Thank you.
No, thank you, Rob.
This is amazing. Thank you guys so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. I got to meet this brother.
Likewise.
And, you know, just remember, people, like when you buy one of this man's pieces, it's not like you're just buying a piece and putting it on your wall. This is an investment.
Oh, right.
This man's going to blow.
Absolutely.
That's what I try to stress to people. But sometimes they wait until it's too late. And that's why I had to come out here, because they say a king will never be loved in his hometown. So it takes for you to travel outside and get the love. And then it's like, oh, yeah, we always knew. So that's what we are.
Y'all hear that, people? Did you hear that gem he just dropped? That's how it is. You got to travel. You got to get up. You got to get out of your town.
Right.
You have to.
Exactly.
Thank you again.
Thank you for it.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Thank you.